All right, so have you seen this whole blue checkmark thing that Google is trying out? Like, you know how we all get those on social media?
Yeah, I've seen some talk about it online. Seems like they're branching out.
It's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, imagine trying to find something online. How do you know what to trust?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with all the websites out there, it can feel impossible to know what's legit.
Exactly. And this is especially important in a professional setting, right? Like, we need to know what information is reliable.
Right. You don't want to be presenting some report based on a shady source.
Talk about awkward. So, WebPro News, they're a really great site, by the way, for staying updated on all things business and tech.
Yeah, I've come across some of their stuff. They seem to have their fingers on the pulse of what's happening.
Totally. Well, they put out an article about this whole blue checkmark experiment. Apparently, Google is testing it out to help people identify trustworthy businesses in search results.
Interesting. So like a visual cue basically telling you, hey, this one checks out.
Yeah, like a little stamp of approval. But get this, it's not even like a widespread thing yet. It's just an experiment for now.
Makes sense. Got to test the water, see how people react to it.
Yeah, and they're keeping pretty quiet about whether it'll be a permanent thing or not.
Oh, keeping us in suspense, I see. But I do have to say, from a psychology standpoint, it's a pretty smart move.
Oh, how so?
Well, think about it. We see that blue check mark and we instantly associate it with credibility, right? It's like a mental shortcut we've
Yeah,
developed.
it's like, oh, they're verified. I don't have to overthink this.
Exactly. It plays on our existing biases and trust mechanisms. And it's not just on social media either. We see it everywhere, product packaging, you name it.
That's true, like those certified organic labels or whatever.
Right.
So Google's basically tapping into that, but for the online world.
Precisely. And the thing is, it works on a subconscious level. We don't even realize it's influencing our decisions.
Wow, that's kind of wild when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, who has time to like thoroughly vet every single website they click on?
Right, especially these days when we're bombarded with information constantly. But, and this is important, this whole blue check mark thing, it's not a foolproof system.
Oh, there's a catch.
Well, there's always a catch, isn't there? Just because a website has that little blue badge doesn't mean it's completely trustworthy.
So, how are we supposed to know what to believe?
Well, it's a good question. There's this fascinating study done by Stanford, actually, and it found that people are more asterisk likely to believe false information if it's presented alongside something they already trust.
Wait, seriously? So it's like the check mark could actually backfire and make us more vulnerable.
That's the thing about trust. It's a powerful tool, but it can be manipulated. So yeah, it's not as simple as just slapping a check mark on something and calling it good.
Wow, this is already making me rethink how I look at things online.
That's a good thing. Questioning things, being a little skeptical, that's the first step.
So we can't just blindly trust the blue check mark.
Right. It's about being informed, not just blindly trusting.
Informed trust. Okay, I like that. So this blue check mark, it's not the be-all and end-all solution. It's just like a small piece of a much larger puzzle. So, okay, no blindly trusting the check mark. Got it. But like, how do we actually, build that informed trust? Where do we even start?
Well, it's not like there's one magic solution, right? If there was, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
True enough. So, what, we all just become like internet detectives or something?
Kind of. I mean, you don't need a magnifying glass, but being a little more aware goes a long way.
Aware of what, though? Like, give me an example.
Okay, so you get an email. It looks totally legit, like it's from your bank. They're asking you to update your info, maybe click on a link.
Been there, almost done that.
Yeah.
Scary how real those can
Oh,
look.
absolutely. They're designed to trick you.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Before you click asterisk, anything asterisk, hover your mouse over that link. Don't click it, just hover.
Okay, hovering. And what am I looking for?
You're looking at the actual URL. Does it asterisk, really asterisk, look like your bank's website? Often it's a jumbled mess or just slightly off. That's a red flag.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've totally fallen for that before. Clicking before checking the URL. Sneaky, sneaky.
They call that phishing. And it's more common than you think. And then there's spear phishing, where they actually tailor the attack to asterisk.
Wait, what? How is that?
They use info they find online about you, your job, your interests to make it even asterisk more asterisk convincing.
Man, it's like they're always one step ahead.
Cybersecurity is a bit of a cat and mouse game, that's for sure. But on a practical level, enable two-factor authentication wherever you can.
Two-factor, right? So even if someone gets my password, they still need that extra code.
Exactly. An extra layer of protection.
Oh, love it. Okay, so that's for like emails and stuff. But what
Yeah.
about just when I'm browsing online? How do I know if a website itself can be trusted?
Ah, good question. That's where those other trust signals come in. We talked about the URL, but look at the website design too.
Okay, yeah. I've definitely seen some sketchy looking websites.
Exactly. Does it look professional? Are there a bunch of typos? Those are often signs that something's off.
It's crazy how those little details can make such a big difference.
Oh, they totally can. And don't just look at the website in isolation. Mm-hmm. Do they have social media? What are people saying about them on review sites?
Reviews, right. Everyone checks those.
And don't just focus on the glowing ones. Read the negative reviews. See if there are any recurring complaints. Oh, that's a really good point, actually. See, this is why I love these deep dives. Always learning something new. Okay, so we've got preventative stuff like two-factor and being phishing aware, plus our website detective skills. What else? How else can we feel more confident online?
One thing we haven't talked about yet is diversifying your sources of information.
Diversifying. Okay, so like don't just read one news site or follow one like influencer, that kind of thing.
You got it. It's easy to get stuck in an echo chamber online, surrounded by the same voices, the same opinions.
Oh, totally. I'm guilty of that myself sometimes. It's comforting, you know, being surrounded by people who see things your way.
Right, but it can also create a really skewed perspective. Like you miss out on the bigger picture, the nuances of the conversation. Makes sense. So how do we branch out? Where do we even start? It's not like I can just magically add hours to my day to consume more content.
And nobody's asking you to. It's more about being intentional with the time you asterisk have. Like maybe you follow a bunch of tech blogs that all share a similar viewpoint.
Okay, yeah, I can see where you're going with this.
Try adding one or two that challenge those assumptions. Present different perspectives, even if you don't agree with them. It's about getting out of that echo chamber.
That's a good point. I mean, I guess it's like anything else, right? Like, if you only ever listen to one genre of music, you're missing out on a whole world of sound. Same goes for information, I guess.
Exactly. And just like exploring different genres of music can broaden your horizons, exploring different viewpoints online can make you a more informed and well-rounded individual.
Plus, it probably makes for way more interesting dinner conversations, right? So I was reading this article the other day and they were saying, boom, instant conversation starter.
There you go. See, diversifying your sources, it's not just good for your online life, it's good for your social life too. But in all seriousness, it's about being an active and engaged participant in this digital world.
I like that. Active and engaged, not just passively scrolling and absorbing.
Exactly. And that brings us back to Google and this whole blue checkmark experiment.
Full circle.
Right. Whether or not it becomes a permanent feature, I think it's done something really important.
What's that?
It's got people talking about trust. It's got us all thinking critically about how we navigate this digital space.
It's true. It's like this tiny little blue icon has sparked a much bigger conversation about like the future of the internet in a way.
Absolutely. And that's a conversation we need asterisks to be having. We're all in this together, right? Businesses, consumers, tech companies, we all have a role to play in shaping a safer, more trustworthy online experience.
Okay, so as we wrap up, any final thoughts for our listeners? Any parting words of wisdom?
Let me think. I guess if I had to leave you with one thought, it would be this. In a world where information is literally at our fingertips 24/7, maybe the most valuable skill we can develop is the ability to slow down, think critically, and never be afraid to ask questions.
Love it. Question everything, challenge your assumptions, and hey, maybe discover some new favorite websites along the way.
On that note, a huge thank you to you, our amazing listeners, for joining us on this deep dive into the world of blue check marks, trust, and the ever-evolving digital landscape. We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic. Until then, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe out there.